Well, what an amazing time we had last weekend with Alan and Donna. I don't know about you, but I felt truly, truly encouraged in what they brought about the prophetic, about impartation. And Alan's message on sending the fire in the morning was profound, I think, for each one of us. But they both shared many, many things. And from my notes, one of the things that really impacted me was Alan talking about when there was this phrase. He said, people are looking for truth and righteousness. Now, I can imagine people looking for truth. We all want to know the truth. But adding righteousness to it changes it up. And in Matthew 6:33, it says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In the Passion Translation, Matthew 6:33 is translated as this. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. So just as we come to take communion this morning, let's just think about that. Let's just turn our attention to the powerful truth that's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Again, from the Passion Translation, let's just maybe close our eyes. This is what it says. For God made Christ, who never knew sin, to become sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God through our union with him. So let's just take a moment and let that sink in. Think about the weight of those words. Christ, who never knew sin. Imagine a life lived in perfect harmony with God. Yet a life completely untouched by darkness, by brokenness, and sometimes the mess that our lives encounter. But Jesus, you know, he walks this earth, was absolutely sinless, no deviation, no misstep from the Father's will. He was pure, holy, utterly blameless. And as Alan put it so brilliantly, Jesus is the righteousness of God. And where does Jesus live? For those of us that believe, he lives within us. But the verse continues to, it says, Jesus became sin for us. This, I think, is a big mystery. The incredible exchange at the heart of the gospel. On the cross, Jesus didn't just die a physical death. He willingly took upon himself the full weight of everybody's sin. Every selfish thought, unkind word, act of rebellion, you name it. You fill in the blanks. Every failure, all of this was laid upon him. I don't know about you, sometimes it's difficult to grasp the magnitude of this act. And the love, the depth of that love that compelled him to bear such a burden. Why did he do it? This passage gives us the answer. It's because so that. I love the so that's in the Bible. There are so many. I keep saying that I must just do a research on the so that's. But in this particular passage, it says, so that we could become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Now, this, again, is incredible. It's a gift offered to us, a gift through our faith in Jesus, through our connection with him. We're not just forgiven of our sins. We are actually made righteous. We are clothed, if you like. We have this garment of perfect righteousness, as if it were our own. It's amazing, I think. Think about it for a moment. Righteousness isn't something we can earn. It's a gift. We can't earn it through our own efforts or through perfectly following rules and regulations, striving to be good enough. That's just tiresome. And if we were, none of us would ever measure up, if we're completely honest. Our best efforts are often tainted and our intentions, motives mixed. But God, in his amazing grace, his empowering presence, provided a different way. He offered us Jesus, his son. And that through our belief, our complete trust in him, we are declared righteous in his sight. Again, just picking out from the Passion Translation, it beautifully captures this union with him. It's not a distant transaction. It's an intimate joining. When we place our trust in Jesus, we are brought into a living relationship with him. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. His standing and his relationship with the Father becomes our standing too. So as we come to communion this morning, the bread we break represents the body of Jesus, broken for us, bearing the weight of our sin. And I like it when the bread is broken, just as I'm doing now, breaking it in half. But then Jesus is glorified. He's completely perfect again. He's always been perfect, but if you get what I'm saying, is that he's restored completely to the Father, just as these bread bits are placed together. And the cup we share, that represents our new covenant established by his blood, a covenant that brings us into this incredible union with him. So it's a powerful reminder. We don't come to God based on our own merit. We come because purely of what Jesus has done for us. We've been cleansed, forgiven, and clothed in righteousness. So, let's just do this together. And I pray, Father God, and thank you for your incredible love that you've shown us in sending your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his willingness. We thank you, Jesus, to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness. We might become righteous in your sight. Help us to truly grasp the depth of this sacrifice and the beauty of this divine exchange. May this communion that we share together today strengthen our union with Christ and with each other and remind us of the perfect righteousness that is now ours through you, Jesus. In your mighty name, I pray.